Oh, that's right. We are right here. I'm here at Sharp Facets, and on the line with us here is Miss Manners. Most everybody, I think, throughout time has read something that she has done. She's written, I think, 17 books. She's just done one, Miss Manners, Mind Your Business, with herself and her son now. She is an icon. She has won many awards, and it is my great honor to introduce to you Judith Martin, a.k.a. Miss Manners. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you. I am doing fine.
Well, it is great to have you on the air with us. You know, Miss Manners, you have been around for so many years. You've seen so many changes in society, haven't you?
I certainly have. I'd like to see a few more improvements, but I've seen a lot.
Well, you know, I think that some of the things that you have come up with and come across, you know, manners are still very, very important today, and yet they seem to be being just walked away from.
Well, everybody wants to be treated politely, and nobody wants the burden of having to be polite, or very few people do, and that's the problem. And it is my job to convince people that it is in their interest.
Well, you know, I would think the electronic age would be one of the more difficult ones because we have so many people who sit at a dinner table, shall we say, and look at their emails or look at their smartphone. And I've seen so many young people sitting there sharing pictures back and forth and getting texts from people that aren't even at the table.
Yes. Well, it has always been rude to ignore the people you're with. There are just more ways to do it. But let's not forget that the electronics have also made our lives potentially a lot easier. You don't have to ring someone up at an inconvenient time or run over there. And before the invention of the telephone, there are all kinds of unobtrusive ways that you can keep in touch with people, which is good if you know how to use them. But unfortunately, when there's a new invention, people go wild and think that there are no manners attached to it.
What's some of the biggest business snafus that you think are out there?
Well, the very biggest is a deep one, which is that there is so much pseudo-socializing at the workplace nowadays that it has eaten up enormous amounts of time and money, contributing to presents and going drinks with colleagues and so on, that it is shortchanging private life. And the even larger problem is that the workplace is still designed for someone who really doesn't have any domestic responsibilities because it was a man and he was supposed to have a wife taking care of that. And so you have people, men and women, frantically trying to do both and yet eating up so much time pretending to be friends at the office, celebrating everybody's birthday, playing games, getting to know people better, which, by the way, does not necessarily make you like people better. And I am suggesting that we cut back from all of that so that people can have a genuine private life, whatever it is.
And that's difficult in today's world, particularly with electronics and everything.
It is difficult, but it's worth it. And when people come to the end of their careers, either abruptly because they're fired or downsized or even in retirement, and they find they have had no private life, it's very tragic because they think all their friends at the office are now snubbing them. Well, they weren't really friends. They were colleagues who got along well, but they weren't the kind of friends who you stick with for life, and they've shortchanged their families. So it's not a good situation.
Well, that is something to think about because you quite often, once you leave the office or work environment, you don't see these people very much anymore.
That's right, because they were colleagues, and you had a lot in common while you were both working there. But these are not the people who are with you through thick and thin. And some of them, even though we have this veneer of social manners and equality in everybody's first names and casual clothes and chatter all the time, all the same, a lot of these people turn out to be rivals or their bosses, which you somehow neglected to notice while palling around. And they have other responsibilities other than making you happy, which you and your friends, presumably real friends, would want to do for one another.
What do you think is the hardest things about raising children today as far as manners and this type of thing? We just seem to be, you know, kids screaming in restaurants and, you know, it just goes on and nobody even seems to notice anymore.
Because parents, even very well-meaning parents, are not doing the job of child-rearing, and they're not doing it for good-hearted reasons. They say, well, I want our time together to be pleasant. I don't want to be saying no. Or they say, I don't want to inhibit the child, which, by the way, is ridiculous. There's nothing more inhibited than a child who's thrown into a situation that he doesn't understand and doesn't know what to do about. If you really don't want your child to be inhibited, you teach him what the world is like so he knows how to behave. but with all this well-meaning lack of child-rearing, and the one thing people say is, well, just be yourself. Terrible advice. First of all, what does it mean? Who would you be if you weren't yourself? But aside from that, that's one big way that young people screw up job interviews, because they're just being themselves instead of behaving in a professional manner. And you're not hired to be a friend. You're hired because you are interested and enthusiastic about the work, which you may or may not really be. But that's what someone wants in an employee.
That is so true. And so many times I've interviewed employees, and they all want to tell me what they want out of the job. It's not what I need. They simply launch off and tell me what they want.
Exactly so. Well, their parents have been asking them what they want every minute of their lives. What do you want for breakfast? What do you want to wear? What do you want this? And so they're brought up with a feeling that that's being themselves, telling everybody else what they want. And you don't hire them, do you?
No, we don't. But I find it very interesting. And when I talk to other business people, I'm not alone in this.
No, because this is what parents are doing now, which is, as I say, they do it with goodwill, but it's a terrible shame.
Other things that you think are young people, and particularly this is a down job market, so if you're going to get a job, you really have to spruce it up and put it on the line here. What other things? I have a problem with the dress in today's dress codes. I don't understand it when I get a young person coming in and they're wearing see-through blouses and this type of thing, and when I say we want to dress professional, they simply tell me, I spent a lot of money on this outfit. Isn't this professional?
Exactly. Well, the very idea that there are professional manners, and it's not, quote-unquote, being yourself, it's a different aspect of yourself, has not been taught. So, and as far as dress is concerned, of course, it varies depending on the field of work that you're applying for. Some are more lax than others. But, again, the idea that you should fit in and assume the part, and that's the way to get ahead or to get a job in the first place, has not been taught.
I agree. It certainly hasn't.
By the way, you asked what they can do, and you were saying about electronics. The first thing they can do for a job interview is to use their electronics to research the place they're applying to work at.
Yeah.
And people don't do that. I mean, they spend all this time on the Internet. I would think the first thing you would do is look up the company, look up its goals, look up the complaints about it that customers or clients have had so you know where its problems are and so that you can talk intelligently in a job interview.
And the other thing to see...
That's easier than ever
to
do.
It is, but also to see if this is a place you would want to work at.
Yes, but you, as you have said, the job market is not so strong that you can pick your ideal place to work at. Most people are looking to get a salary.
Right, exactly. But still, if you don't agree with a lot of policies and everything and you go in there blasting what you believe, you may not walk out with that job.
You won't get the job, so you don't have to worry about working out.
Exactly. Well, I just wanted to talk, I know we just have a minute here. Miss Manners, a bit mind your business. You know, I was reading it over the last few days. There are some great stories in here. I love how you answer some of the people. There was one where you were talking about to meet over a meal in a private home. She wanted to have a group, a board meeting. And you said about separating the line between that, and then she wanted to know if it would be appropriate to serve wine at the luncheon.
Yes.
And since you're unable to walk a straight line, it seems inhospitable to hold your guests to a higher standard.
Yes.
I'm telling you what, Miss Manners. You've got a wicked sense of humor.
Thank you.
I think
that's what keeps me sane in this business.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I've really enjoyed talking with you, Miss Manners, Judith Martin. You are a treasure to all of us out there, and hopefully you will be able to continue to bring some sanity to business and life in general.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed talking with you.
All right. Bye-bye now. Have
Bye-bye.
A great day.
Thanks. You too.
All right.
Bye.
The book is Miss Manners, Mind Your Business, Judith Martin and her son, Nicholas Ivor Martin. And it looks like a really, really good read. I didn't read the whole book, but I did read parts of it and thought, what a good way to put across the ideas of what we're all looking for. And that, of course, is to be able to be heard and to listen to other people and that we all move forward.